morning, 7:37 on this Valentine's Day, also Ash Wednesday. Joining us at 8:05, Mark Krikorian from the Center for Immigration Studies. And let us know how that whole immigration debate's shaken out in Congress and if they're actually getting anything done. I highly doubt it. I'm Mary Walter, and I'm here with Vince Colonese.
Oh, good morning. Really pleased to be joined this morning by Lanny Davis, who's in the studio today, former special counsel to President Clinton and the author of The Unmaking of the President 2016, How FBI Director James Comey Cost Hillary Clinton the Presidency. Lanny, good morning.
Vince, Mary, happy Valentine's Day to my wife at home, Carolyn Atwell Davis. Happy Valentine's Day. 33 years ago, she decided to take a chance.
Well, this man knows how to start an interview, winning the one fan he needs immediately. Lanny, I realize, you know, everyone wants to talk about what happened exactly, but doesn't it feel like we've spent enough time relitigating what happened?
Yeah. In fact, when I wrote the book, it was a little bit depressing because I thought it was dated very quickly. People don't want to relitigate. If you're a Hillary Clinton fan, it's painful. If you're a Donald Trump fan, you don't want to go back over what happened. But what's making it relevant now is really the attack on the FBI and what's happening in the Trump White House that seems to concern some people. So the relevance of the book now is really the FBI, whether you like Trump or not, can't possibly be described as a vast left-wing pro-Hillary Clinton conspiracy. So the point of the book was to look at the data that happened on October 28th in the afternoon compared to the morning. And I tracked that data almost by the hour, and it looked very clear to me that the Comey letter was the turning point that caused her to lose.
So October 28th is the day of the Comey letter being sent to Congress, which of course instantly became public, saying that the investigation into Hillary Clinton was being reopened because they had discovered new emails on the Wiener laptop, right?
It was actually worse than that, but that is correct. The headlines were a new criminal investigation of Hillary Clinton regarding emails, which was a toxic expression associated with the Clinton campaign. And the actual letter said, we don't even know what's in the emails because we haven't looked at any, so we don't know what we have. And it still was exaggerated into a headline that hurt her badly.
Now, on that point, since that date happened, we've found out new information thanks to these text messages between FBI officials, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, that they had found this laptop and discovered emails on it a month prior to James Comey even announcing it in public.
Correct.
When I saw that news, I thought to myself, you know, Democrats who are now very actively defending the FBI against all criticisms because the president is upset with the leadership there should probably begin to think to themselves, you know what? There's actually been a series of bad decision making at the FBI, and we should spend some time litigating that. That kind of matters whether or not the FBI is making good judgment calls.
So there are a lot of ironic twists that have made my book more interesting, even for conservatives and pro-Trump voters. The actual warrant to look at the emails after the letter was written, the headlines were just drenching the American people. She's under a criminal investigation the last 10 days, and she lost, like a rock dropping in the pond, her numbers. But here's what's interesting. It took them 6 days to look over those emails. So on October 30th, 2016, the warrant is issued. It's the first time they had a chance to actually look at what was there on Wiener's laptop. 6 days later, on Sunday morning, November 6th, Jim Comey writes a two-sentence letter. We looked, nothing new, sorry, nothing there. But it was Sunday morning, too late to really change the damage. Now, had they looked on October 3rd when they first found them, do the math. October 9th, headline, nothing there. 1 month remaining for her to recover. So actually, they're slow walking or taking their time to go get the warrant until the very end of the campaign, to me, looks like a deliberate effort to do it at a point where she couldn't recover.
So this wasn't, I'm sorry, just in your mind, it's not just bad decision making. They were deliberately trying to sabotage Hillary Clinton?
Well, there appears to be in New York City a lot of reporting of anti-Clinton leaks from the New York City FBI office. Rudy Giuliani bragged 3 days before the letter was issued on a network called Fox, something's coming, ha, 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 I'm getting this from retired and active FBI agents. So there appears to me to have been an anti-Clinton network within the New York City FBI office, but I don't condemn the whole FBI for that.
But yet James Comey, as we know, when he interviewed Hillary Clinton at the time, we know that the decision to exonerate her back in July, you know, that decision was made before the interview even happened. We now know that. So it seems like as if James Comey was looking to protect her. That's how it appears to people who are Trump supporters. Why would he then be okay with coming out with this report on the 28th of October, which seems to throw her under the bus? What's going on with James Comey?
Well, let's not get too technical, and I do get to be, not you, but me. There was never a criminal case because they didn't find a single marked email. Out of 33,000 emails, not one was labeled classified. So very early on, there isn't a prosecutor in the country that will tell you that she can be guilty of a crime if she doesn't see a labeled email and then ignores it. So that's number one, why they knew ahead of time she wasn't going to get prosecuted.
All right, I want to get more into that question because I have a lot of questions about the classification stuff.
Yeah.
And Lanny, you can help us sort it out. Interested to talk to you. More with Lanny Davis in just a moment. 743 here on WMIL.
Get sound retirement tips on the Savvy Investor Radio with Mike Kinnett of Pro Status Financial Advisors Group. Sundays at 6 a.m. and 1 p.m. here on WMAL.
You know, there's a reason year after year the local home buyers and sellers choose a man by the name of Frank Prindle. In fact, there are endless reasons to trust Frank Prindle. You see, when you love what you do, it shows, and Frank's passion for real estate actually translates to real results for his clients. Retirees Noble and Peggy were ready to sell their D.C. home. Frank advised them on small but necessary repairs, and he sold their home in just 4 days and for $30,000 over their list price. There's no risk to working with Frank Prindle. He'll sell your home for a price and a deadline that you agree upon. Or he'll buy it himself, guaranteed. Not only does Shark Tank's Barbara Corcoran exclusively support Frank Prindle in D.C., Frank's been endorsed by Sean Hannity of the Fox News Channel, and now I'm proud to say I trust Frank as well. So call the only agent that I would call if I were to sell a home. Call Frank Prindle at 855-234-SOLD. That's 855-234-SOLD. Or online at itrustfrank.com.
If you follow the automotive news, you know much of the talk is about mobility. And you also know that Michigan is where all the big ideas are coming from. Michigan is the epicenter for innovation, technology, and testing in mobility. Home to more than 75% of the nation's R&D spending and North America's only real-world testing facilities that allow research under all road and weather conditions. Learn more about how Michigan is changing the face of transportation at planetm.com.
7:45 now, WMAL traffic and weather every 10 minutes. First on the fives, here's Jamie Witten in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
All right, Vince, no change right now on Route 32. Maryland commuters, the crash happened on the eastbound side of 32 just after the exit for the Baltimore-Washington Parkway, and they had stopped all traffic there, even the westbound side, right at the scene of the crash. So 32, if you normally come around, that's safe from even 29. Try not to get hung up in that. If you're sitting in those delays, I'd bail out on 95 or Route 1, but the closer you get to the BW Parkway, you're really just not moving at all. Again, Route 32 with the serious crash. Now, on the Baltimore-Washington Parkway, southbound in Jessup, accident near 175, then jammed inside the Beltway into Riverdale with a crash at 410. I know I'm still talking about all this activity on the BW Parkway. Northbound slows through Laurel due to the crash. On the George-Washington Parkway, nothing to tell you about, just the volume on Chain Bridge and onto Chain Bridge Road. Just seeing the morning volume delays there. Now, if you normally head toward Fair Oaks Mall and the 50 trip inbound, we're hampered with this incident still right near Majestic Lane, an overturned vehicle involved in this one. So 50 as you come inbound before you get to the Fairfax County Parkway. Watch for response still there. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
A big jump in temperatures as we'll get well into the 50s today, maybe even touch 60 in a few spots with a partly sunny sky. A little breeze out of the southwest. Showers start rolling in this evening. I'm meteorologist Ray Stajic from the Weather Channel on WMAL.
Currently in the nation's capital, 35 degrees, 746 on WMAL. Having a great conversation with Lanny Davis here, both on and off the air, talking about all sorts of things. But let's focus on the book for just a moment here. The Unmaking of the President 2016, how FBI Director James Comey cost Hillary Clinton the presidency. And before we hit that last break, we were talking about the classification markings and how she couldn't be charged for a crime. Square this for me, though. She's the Secretary of State. She should know what information is considered classified, markings or otherwise. By the way, there were some small markings. I noticed in your book, book, you pointed out that it wasn't fully to form. There were C's and things marked on some pages, but you didn't have the headings posted on some of these documents. So there were some indicators that there was classified information in these documents. But still, I think most Americans look at this and go, well, that shouldn't in any way be an excuse for somebody who should know what's classified.
Well, first of all, there was one out of 33,000 that had a little C in the middle of a paragraph. And during the congressional hearing, Comey was asked, an expert looking at that little C in the middle of a paragraph, would that expert in classification recognize that as classified? His answer was no. That's a fact. So he took it back, even though he said, well, we found a small number. It turned out one out of 33,000. So just to put it in perspective, that couldn't be recognized by an expert as classified. But your question is well taken. Should she have known? And the answer is, some people would say some of the information should have been known, some not. She's forwarding on emails that 300 diplomats in the State Department sent to her, so they should have known. They didn't send it through classified channels. So that may be a fair criticism, but it's not a crime, and that is the whole issue. There can't be a crime without criminal intent. Without a label, there can't be a crime.
But if you simultaneously believe that the Russians in any way influenced the elections by way of their hacking of other people's emails and all sorts of things, she's using a private email server to communicate her business in the State Department. Is she placing the national security of the United States at risk in her practices?
So here's a fact. I try to stay with facts and let you your listeners form their own opinions. So her server was never once, according to James Comey and the FBI forensic experts, hacked. The State Department, where everybody said she should have used their server, was regularly hacked by the Chinese and the Russians. So there's never been a single instance of evidence that she was hacked, whereas we have people who are not passing their intelligence tests in the White House now, including Mr. Porter, reading the highest level classified information, and not one Republican has criticized Donald Trump for allowing, including Mr. Kushner, who's never been cleared for classified, looks at the intelligence reports every morning. So the double standard here, Hillary Clinton may have missed some that were sent to her that she forwarded to others. Clearly that's possible, but there were also ones that, for example, there was a published New York Times article that she forwarded to somebody else on drones that was declared classified 2 years after.
There's so much more I want to talk to you about. Lanny Davis, I'm sorry we're out of time, but really appreciate it.
Thank you.
The Unmaking of the President 2016 is the book. We'll talk to Lanny again soon because I have
so many
questions.
Thanks for having me, both of you. Great to be here.
750 on WMAL.